I'm excited about the new church starting in Chicago because that's where I was born and raised. I went to high school there. I could tell you a zillion stories of my life in Chicago. I'm a city boy. But we were talking before the service here. I've been here going on 11 years. Now I consider myself an Idaho man. So I love it out here. I would hate to live in Chicago at this time. But turn in your Bibles to Matthew 14. I see Cheryl here. She would testify to this. I used to be a very long-winded preacher. Amen. I used to preach at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half, as much as 2.5 hours, believe it or not. But in my old age, my brain doesn't work as well. It goes much quicker, so I'll get you out early, not late. Matthew 14, I want to preach on with Christ in the storm. Matthew 14, I'll start reading in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent his multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." Just like we, that would scare us to death. It's a ghost. They cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thee of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to pray for those in Chicago, Lord. We thank you that there's another church with hundreds of thousands, millions of people there. There's so few decent churches, Lord. And I just pray that you'll defeat the devil. We know the devil will fight every inch of the way. But I pray you'll give Pastor Whitaker your wisdom, Debbie your wisdom, give him your strength, and I pray we'll see a wonderful church started and that hundreds of people will be saved. In your name we pray. Amen. Across the nation, I don't think I'm telling you any secret, but there's storms. People's lives, storms. I look out here and I see people, you have storms in your life. I have storms in my life. In churches, in the nation. Wow, our nation is just tore apart. And I see a weariness and a despondency and even a bitterness from people because of what they're facing. And the love of many is waxing cold. They're living in this age of apostasy. And I don't think things are going to get any better. The devil knows his time is short. And I don't think things will get any easier. But Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You just want to remember that. We're never alone. I'm sure we've all faced horrible times in our life. We always think we're the only ones, but we're not. Horrible times. And I know when I have faced those times. Wow, was it great to go to the Lord. Just to go to Him, and He's real. He's more real. Now, I have to say, maybe I'm just carnal, but a lot of times I'm going through life, I have my prayer life, I read my Bible, everything's going fine. But I'll tell you what, you get into a real storm and you think you're alone, He becomes real. And we can praise God for that. So Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're never alone. And so my first point, I've just got a whole bunch of little points, is the departure. It looked like they were going to be left alone. Verse 22 again, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Jesus is going to depart, and he constrained them. Now that word constrain, if you look at a modern dictionary, it's strong. It's like, you know, could be used in force. I don't think the Lord used force. He probably took him by the arm and said, get in the boat, you know. But it was a strong type word. Now, why didn't they want to get in the boat? We want to think about it. Why? Well, there was a storm coming up. They were fishermen. They knew the sea. I've been on the Sea of Galilee, and I talked to the people from there. And they said, it's not a real big lake. It's not small, but it's not a real big lake. But they said the storms can be terrible, really bad on that lake. They were fishermen, most of them. They knew how treacherous the storm could be. And I think we'd want to talk it over also. But secondly, Jesus made it clear that he was not going with them. Get on the boat. Goodbye. Okay? Get on the boat. It's a treacherous time, a storm's coming up, but I'll see you. The Lord deliberately, and I want you to see this, the Lord deliberately sent his disciples into the storm, and he still does that, okay? For some reason, Christians think, if I'm a Christian, everything's going to be easy. Well, let me complain to you about my life, okay? My life has not been easy, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I'm not complaining. But God doesn't promise you an easy life. He, though, promises you that he'll be right with you, okay? If you look for him, he's there. So, again, he's promised not an easy voyage, but a happy landing. So there was a storm brewing, and it was getting dark. It was bad enough to be on that lake in a storm, but suicide at night. He was sending them in a storm at night alone. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Number one, to test them. Number two, to temper them. Number three, to teach them. Okay? Why does God test a believer? Is it so that he can see what we're made out of? He knows what we're made of. We're made of dirt. And we crumble. God puts us to the test in a storm, lets the wind blow, the thunder and lightning crack, not so he can see what we're made of, but that we can see what we're made of. Now, I know you never get thinking that you can do it on your own, but I have. And God wants to say, no, you can't. All through my Christian life, so many times I've been flying high. Whoa. God says, there, boy. Just like a reins on a horse, you could get back. We'll all admit weaknesses, but it's hard for us to depend on him. And you say, oh, no. Yes, it is. It's hard for us to depend on him. The flesh doesn't want to admit that we can't handle it ourselves. For some reason, and I think the weaker the flesh, the worse this problem is. God allows us to get in a dark time so that we see within ourselves we are nothing. Now, God has had to do that to me more than once, several times. You know, I've used illustrations. I've failed in school. I was fighting, thrown out of school dozens of times and all this type of things. And you'd think I'd learned my lesson. But it seems like every time God blesses and I'm kind of riding high, God has to knock me down again because I start thinking it's me. And God has to show we are nothing without him. Nothing. We can't handle a situation without him. We need to learn to depend on him. So he tests us and he teaches us. I heard an account of a girl who was working in a plant that made shirts. She was a seamstress. And the first day on the job, she got her thread all fouled up. And the more she worked on it, the worse it was. And she just kept on getting more frustrated until finally, like a nice woman, she had laid her head down and cried. And finally, her boss came and said, "What's wrong?" And she showed him the thread and said, "You know, the more I work on it, the worse it is." And the boss said, "Look at the big sign. Big sign with red letters. When your thread gets tangled, call the management." And that's what God wants us to do, and that's why he lets the thread get tangled, to call us back. When your thread of life gets tangled, don't get frustrated and don't get disgusted or despondent. Call the management. Again, God knows us. We're flesh. I don't care. Like I say, I was in the ministry. I like to say this. I've been saved. I'm going on just about 80 years, okay? I don't know exactly. I'm too old to remember, but something like 78 years I've been saved. I like saying that, okay? I've been saved a long time. But I'll tell you something. I'm still a human being. I'm still flesh. And God still has to knock me on my noggin sometime and say, "Call the management. I need to talk to you." God puts us in a storm to learn what we are. God puts us in a storm to depend on his strength and to understand we can't do it without him. Okay, I don't care who you are. Again, I've been saved, whatever, 78 years. I was in the ministry decades and decades. I can't make it on my own. I'll fall on my face. I'll destroy my life if I try and do it on my own. Call the management. Also, to temper us, metal cannot be made to hold an edge without being thrown in the fire. Okay? And God many times tempers his people by throwing them in the fire. Now, I'm not going to preach long, but I could tell you stories that would curl your hair where God threw me in the fire. And I just will admit to you, okay, I was in speech class for the first 9 years, and I could just go on and on, kicked out of school, every type of thing. When I say kicked out of school, many, many, many times, okay? So many things that I could tell you why I should be humble. But there's something about it, and I'm not saying I'm a proud person, but I'm saying God gives you victories. God may give you victories in your family. I've seen that. Boy, we've got good kids. Boy, you better watch yourself. Whack! Understand what I'm trying to say? God has to get our attention. And many times that'll happen. So, again, but when so many times when God gets our attention, okay, we have money problems, people will quit giving. Lose their job. What's wrong with God? Family problems. I'm going to quit. I'm going through a storm. I don't understand it. Let me tell you something. God is too good and too wise to make a mistake. He does not make mistakes. Turn it over to the management. God put his disciples in a storm to test them, to teach them, to temper them. And then notice, he went to the mountain to pray. The departure, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Who do you think he was praying for? I'm sure, at least among other things, he was praying for the disciples. This is a picture of the Lord as our high priest interceding for us. That's a wonderful thing that we learn in the Bible. When we're going through problems, He is interceding for us. Trust God. He's interceding. He is our lawyer. As the disciples were on the sea, He's praying for them. They didn't know that. All they knew is He sent them out in the sea. And I'm sure they're thinking, what are they doing? What's He doing to us? Okay, we're some baby sometime, aren't we? Please read your Bible. The Lord is interceding for us, especially when we're going through battles. Whenever we have a test, whenever we're on trial, whenever we're tempted, whenever we're going through storms and testing and trials, there is one that's interceding for us, and we can be thankful for that. It's not just us praying. He's interceding for us. And He puts us in this spot also so He can deal with us. Isn't it something? We can be so right with God, and we're just going to do everything perfect, and we mean it. And then we get flying high, and everything's going good, and instead of doing what's right, we can get off track a little bit, and God has to say, hey, come on, get back here. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us, and to intercede for us. That's a wonderful promise. Now look at 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the midst of the sea, the disturbance. Why is it that when we get in the middle of a storm, we want to quit? We look at our neighbor. Have you ever done that? He drinks, he curses like a sailor, and he's doing just fine. And I've got all these problems. He's prospering. Everything I do is a failure. My job isn't what it ought to be. My finances are a shambles. My wife doesn't understand me. I don't get enough sleep. Why don't you trust God? Amen. Just quit looking at your neighbor. Look at God. I'm just talking about, this is an ex-pastor, okay? The most obnoxious person I've ever worked with is the person that thinks he's a martyr for going through normal problems. Others are beating their brains out, and these martyrs want their way paved with gold or they're going to quit. That's life. Nobody appreciates them. Oh, I'm not a pastor anymore. Am I tired of that? Nobody appreciates this. Who are you working for? Nobody knows their problems, and a real storm comes, they're smashed. Some people take a short-sighted view of everything. All they can do is see the waves. All they do is see the lightning flashing, the ship rolling, and they cry, "It's going down. Why doesn't somebody do something?" Now, I'm just being truthful here. I can't stand being around people. When problems come, they panic, and they start pointing fingers. Fear looks at the circumstances. Faith looks at God. You know, you say you're mean. No. Listen, we're Christians. It's not just preaching. It's just not a book. We either believe it or we don't believe it. When rough times come, we trust God. You do right, you just keep doing right, and God will bless. You'll come out on the other end, and you'll see that God was in it. God will bless. Dr. Weigels told a story. One time he was so depressed he was going to kill himself. He was a professor at Tennessee Temple College. It was the darkest hour. I don't remember. I don't know what it was. But he was out on the end of a pier. The tide was high. It was raining. A terrible storm. And the devil whispered, "Why don't you jump off? Nobody will ever. You'll disappear. You'll go out with the tide." And from the depths of his soul, the Holy Spirit said, "No one ever cared for you like Jesus." And he went back to his room and he wrote that song that we like to sing. because nobody does. Nobody will ever care for us like Jesus. People will always let you down. They will. I will let you down. Ask my wife. Okay? Pastor Whitaker will let you down. Ask Zeke. No, we'll all do it. We're all people. We're all people. And it may be the darkest hour of your life, but God has a reason for every storm. Just remember that. Now make sure you're not putting yourself in a storm because of sin. But you say, I'm living, I'm right with God. God has a reason for every storm. Notice the dismay in verses 25 and 26. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out in fear. He didn't walk in the water, he walked on the water. He didn't even get his sandals dry. I mean, wet. He's taking a stroll. Now, see the picture. Small, those ships, if you could see them, we call it, think of a ship. It was probably no longer than this room. They were all in it. And filled with all these frightened men, half full of water. Maybe some of them are seasick. And all of a sudden, they see somebody walking on the water. And they say, it's a ghost! Ah, it's a ghost! Okay? It's a spook, help! Now, I'll tell you something, it's bad enough to see a ghost, but really bad if you can't run, okay? And they're stuck on the ship. They saw the Lord out of fear, not out of faith. Now look at 27 through 30. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Can you see those bug-eyed disciples? When Peter got out of the ship and started walking on the water, they were scared to death, and then Peter's walking on water. But then he began to sink. Many times in people's lives, when there's a great victory, there's a great fall, because we start getting haughty. Peter took his eyes off the Lord and onto the circumstances and started going down. And then verse 30 again. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Peter is in desperation here, and you know what he did? He reached into his suit coat pocket, got a prepared prayer out, and he said, let us pray. Eternal, all-wise, omniscient, everlasting Father, no. He cried, help! I'm going down, help! I don't know if you ever heard of Sam Jones, but he was an old preacher from the 1800s, an evangelist, and he was in a preacher's meeting. They can be very, I won't go into it, but anyway, a bunch of preachers. And they called on this fancy professor-type guy to pray, and he got that warble on his throat, and he started, great God, everlasting Father. And Sam Jones said, let us puke. I like preachers like that. What I'm saying is, Peter said, help! Understand, we sometimes, we get in a problem, and very few people really pray in public. You know that? They pray to the public. Peter just said, help. And I'll stop at that. And then in verse 31, the deliverance. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, Thou, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? He reached forth and saved him, and then he rebuked him. God will always save us before he rebukes us, but he will rebuke us. We get so depressed. We think we have so much right to be discouraged. I tell you, I have all kinds of reason. You know, I was born without teeth. I was born without hair. I couldn't talk. I didn't have clothes. I was in the hospital, and I didn't even know what my name was. We have such a right to be depressed, don't we? Listen, when you're in a storm and about to go down, Jesus is always there. He's always there. God knew best. You said it. If Peter wouldn't have sunk, the disciples wouldn't have been able to live with him. Could you hear him? Hey, John, did you ever walk on water? He got him. Now, I like this. He got him wet enough to keep him shut up and dry enough to keep the other disciples shut up. A defeat that leaves a believer humble is more beneficial than a victory that leaves him proud. I want to say that again. I didn't make that up myself. But we want victory all the time. A defeat that leaves a believer humble is more beneficial than a victory that leaves him proud. If any man thinks well of himself, he really hasn't become very well acquainted with Jesus Christ. How do you react to storms? I'm through. Are you stronger? You say, I've never been in a storm. Well, you will be. Don't be afraid. Don't think it's a ghost. But keep your eyes on him. Trust him. That's what it's all about. Everybody, the devil says, you're the only one. No, you're not the only one. I could tell you storm after storm, Sharon, and I've been through in just the last 10 years. But you trust him, and that's the beauty of being saved for a period of life. If you keep trusting him and keep trusting him, you become stronger and stronger and stronger. If you fall and fall and fall, you just become weaker and weaker. The devil wins all the time. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him. When the battles and storms come, keep your eyes on him. The main thing when a battle comes, the thing I tell myself, and I've done this all my Christian life, make sure you're right with God. Make sure you're right with God. Then you know everything's fine. And he'll see you to the other side, and you'll be better, and you'll be stronger for it. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word and the simplicity of it. Lord, we twist things, we fancy things up, Lord. But Lord, we thank you that you simply are with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We follow our lives up, and so many times then we say, well, I'm going to quit. Lord, help us to understand you are always with us. You will always take us, and you'll always lift us up if we'll only turn to you. In your name we pray. Amen.